All right. So we'll call this meeting to order. Has everyone had an opportunity to look at the minutes of October 20th? Are there any changes? For those who are having audio problems, feel free to put any changes or edits in the chat box. I'll keep an eye on that.
I have a question.
Sure.
The minutes indicate that I had promised to circulate the most recent completed report. Did I do that? And also, what report was that referring to?
I think I had asked about the private well report, maybe, and I found it. So, and I think I followed up with you directly.
Okay, so I don't need to do anything more. Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other edits, questions, comments about the minutes? All right, is there a motion to accept the minutes?
So moved.
Yeah. All right, I will we'll take Mike as the mover and Denise as the second. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I'll abstain. I'm abstaining. I wasn't at that meeting. Lori?
Okay.
Thank you.
I will take anyone who does not oppose or abstain as an aye. But just for the sake of process, all in favor, say aye.
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 I'm sorry, did somebody say something?
Aye.
Oh, thanks, Margaret. So the implementation work group, Virginia.
Okay, we met on the 10th, we met last week. And as you know, one of the things that we're focusing on with the Alliance for Water Efficiency is the rates workshop, which is happening on March 16th and 17th from 9 to noon on each of those days. One change from what we've told you in the past is Maureen Westbrook is going to be joining Jan Beecher in the keynote discussion, and she's going to be discussing the rates adjustment mechanism that the private water companies have available to them. We are having a panel, and the town of Portland has committed to having somebody there. We do not yet know who that person is. And one of the comments that had been made in an earlier meeting is perhaps we should have a representative of Massachusetts be on that panel. But we felt that it was important to make this a Connecticut-only panel, so that it was focusing on our needs. There's also a suggestion that there be a representative of consumer interests. And that's something that the planning group is going to be discussing in more detail. As soon as we find out who those final panelists might be, we're going to get out a flyer promoting this so that people can get the dates on their calendar. Also, the workshop materials, we decide we're going to be mailed out rather than just emailed, so that everybody would have a complete set of the materials. As you may recall, another thing we're working with the Alliance for Water Efficiency on is water fixtures, indoor water fixture volume guidelines. And there's a discussion of whether that should be tied to the water sense guidelines or whether we should put volumetric guidelines into what we propose, perhaps to go to the legislature, probably not in this session, but in the next session. There was some earlier concern, depending on the election, that the Water Sense program might not have the same stature that it was. Even with the results of the election as we see them, we were talking about perhaps having both the volumetric guidelines as well as the Water Sense guidelines in case that program is jeopardized sometime in the future. Also, the Water Planning Council requested more data on potential cost savings as well as energy savings related to these potential water restrictions. And Marianne Dickinson and I are going to be following up on that request. In terms of our topical sub-work groups, in the group looking at the drought of 2016-2017 and how it may have been handled differently if the current drought plan had been in effect, they're finishing up their work. They're breaking their report up into sub-teams and still hope to get it completed by the end of December. The domestic well water quality group looked at the list of contaminants that are currently mandated to be sampled for, primarily when a well is installed, and they decided not to add to that list, but to leave it, they would propose leaving it up to the local health districts to add additional contaminants that might be particular to their geographic area. They also had some discussion in their group about the restraints of staffing and other resources. And the general feeling was that the recommendations coming out of any of our topical work groups should be our recommendations without considering what resource limitations there might be. Clearly, they could be acknowledged, but that we shouldn't constrain what we recommend based on those staffing or other resource limitations. The Outreach and Education Topical Group had put together an in-depth outline, a conceptual plan for their work, which was shared with us. And I don't know if people on this call had, Denise, did you share it with this group as well as with the implementation work group, do you recall?
No, I don't think it went out to this full group, but we can do that.
Okay, I would appreciate that. And they also are proposing to, and this is something, Jack, that I want to get to you and the other members of the council, they're proposing to create a presentation team. They have a draft presentation which they're going to be giving to CACUWIC in early December. And that could be the basis of any number of presentations, each one of which might be modified slightly depending on the audience. But we felt that it would be good to designate a team to have greater numbers and not be dependent on just members of the Water Planning Council or their staff to do presentations as were appropriate. As we've mentioned in the past, the group has identified that they really have two audiences, one which is more water resource leaders and the other is more the general public. And it came up as a question to that group of whether we should be talking about two groups or whether the one group felt that they could handle both things. Certainly the water professionals are going to be the focus in the more short term and the general public would be part of a longer term. Also, Janice recommended that we add in some farmers and agricultural leaders. And Denise mentioned that some of that is represented by her affiliation with the various conservation districts. The Regionalization and Interconnections Topical Work Group, we still do not have a decision from the Water Planning Council on whether changes are needed to that proposal. And hopefully we'll hear more about that from them in their December 1st meeting.
People are not going to know.
Pardon me? Also, because we've acknowledged that there can be a lot of lead time for starting some of these work groups, there's talk of coming to the next meeting with ideas to tee up for some other topical work groups that we might want to pursue. So any additions to that from any people who were at the meeting?
Hey, Virginia, this is Dave from Portland. Just to give you a little update, I had been in touch with Marianne, I think, on our panel for representing the town on the rates workshop. It's probably going to be myself, the public works director, and we have a deputy first selectman who's chairman of our water and sewer committee. And I'm also the member of the Water and Sewer Commission, as far as that goes, and possibly our first selectman.
Okay, so and you've been in contact with Marianne?
I have, yep.
Mm-hmm. Good, okay, thank you.
Anything else for Virginia? Thank you, Virginia. Are there any other state water plan matters? I have one, but I'll let others have an opportunity before I bring mine up. Are there any other water plan matters that anybody wants to bring forward? One of the things that I wanted to mention, because the work will be fairly timely very soon, is that the GC3 will be issuing its final report within the next few months. And there are several items and recommendations in the report that impact water planning. And I know at least in the subgroup that I led, a lot of the recommendations are already consensus recommendations in the state water plan. And as part of the governor's executive order, he's asked the entities that do the planning to take a look at the reports to see how these mesh up with their own plans. And so this is something that work that needs to get done by the end of next year. I think that, you know, as far as the state water plan goes, we're in a very good position because we did the work of looking at climate change when the plan was developed. But I think there are a lot of items that hopefully can get some attention as issues that need to be moved forward and resources that are needed to do that. So I think it's a good idea, you know, now since we have both, you know, the leaders of the Water Planning Advisory Group and members and Virginia here to talk about, you know, if there's some proposal we can bring to the Water Planning Council to help move this forward, or if we would like to sort of put something together, just talk to the Water Planning Council together about it at their next meeting, just to remind them that it's something that's coming. Virginia, do you have thoughts about this, or Josh?
Well, I agree that it's an important issue, and who actually does that analysis of the intersection of the two is, I mean, I can argue with myself on that one, whether it be primarily agency people, whether it's appropriate for the implementation work group to do it and actually come up with a topical work group to focus on that, or whether, you know, as you just said, whether it should be the advisory group. I could argue any one of those three, even more. So I need to give it some thought and bounce ideas around with you guys and some other folks.
Alicia, it's Jack. I know that Lori Matthews has been part of the GC3, and I'm sure she's going to have some recommendations moving on. So I think that the combination of what you might think we ought to be looking at, and we can talk with Lori and other members of council as well. You know, the governor's team is very passionate about getting something completed within the next 12 months. So.
Okay. Moving on, any thoughts about that before we move on to old business?
Alicia, I just want to make one comment, and that is that the University of Connecticut, with Serpa and whatever, there's been a lot of focus on sea level rise and some other water issues. There was a report that was cited in the GC3 that's kind of a new report that focuses on temperatures and how that's going to impact precipitation and evaporation and a host of things. And I know that the folks who authored that are still looking at more research wants to get done. So I'm just putting that out there, that on the research side, because we have a lot of questions, as you know, surrounding drought and surrounding how do we model leaf out and the impact of having a longer growing season with trees and whatever, as well as the temperature extreme. So there is work being done at UConn on that. Like I said, there was a preliminary report or a report that was done, but I think one of the things the report says is they need to do more work. But I think it's really important that will be informing. So it's not just necessarily actions that we might take legislatively in terms of, you know, the GC3, but also some of this research and data gathering that we will need to help us adapt to and respond to climate change. So I'm just putting that out there that we probably should follow that and pay attention to what's going on with that particular report and make sure that that work continues.
Thank you, Denny.
Alicia, this is Margaret.
Yeah.
I put a note in chat. I didn't quite catch up with the private wells report from Virginia, but my question is, why are we not looking at quantity and volume? In my part of the state, many more people report problems simply getting enough water and having to dig second and third deep wells or have water delivered, as opposed to worrying about water quality.
Margaret, the work that the subgroups is doing is geared towards making recommendations that might involve changes in regulation or legislation. And the first group was looking just at the location of wells and how we could maybe capture that in a database. So the water quality group is looking at whether or not there should be requirements for water quality testing, periodic testing of private wells, and also they were going to look at whether there should be a larger list of contaminants that would be included in that kind of testing. So it's a little bit different focus than just the availability of water, the quantity of water that you're talking about, which results in some problems, because I'm not sure what the legislative or regulation recommendation would be along those lines.
Well, one thing that has come up is whether a planning commission with a subdivision or perhaps other land use authorities should question how much water actually is available when a new development using water is being projected. I've been in meetings, well, this was a while ago, but similar things recently, where a subdivision is approved, and then at the end of the meeting, the commissioners say, well, good luck getting water up there. So, I often ask before you, one of the first questions you should ask about a development is, how much water is there, and then where's the wastewater going to go? So I think it could be done in a regulatory way, but I don't know how effective it would be.
Okay, interesting point. Thank you for that.
Sure.
Alicia, we can't hear you.
Mute. Sorry, I was on mute. Dan Lawrence, do you have audio for the WOOC update? He still doesn't have audio. Is there anyone that can give the WOOC update in his stead? I can try to wing it. I was there for the last meeting, but suppose Dan can dispute anything I say in the chat. Is there anyone else who wants to give the update since Dan is mute?
Dan, can you just call in on your phone so that you have audio only?
Well, let's give Dan an opportunity to call in on his phone, and I'll monitor the chat to see what his progress is like. And we can move on to the interagency drought work group update. And Bruce, do you want to give that update?
Sure. There isn't a whole lot to say. The group met earlier in the month and decided not to change anything. Conditions had improved in much of the state. But there were still pockets with problems. Fairfield County really triggers essentially nothing as far as drought indicators, but there are water companies still struggling. So from the standpoint of not mixing messaging, we left Fairfield County as is along with everyone else. And we will meet again in early December and reconsider at that time.
The next meeting is December 10th.
Was November 5th the last meeting, or was there a more recent meeting that didn't change this?
No, that was the most recent meeting. So that followed a fair amount of rain, and around the time we met, the U.S. Drought Monitor basically reduced the drought intensity across the state by one category in each of the areas. But we, if anything, were a little slow to go up the scale, so it seemed appropriate to stay where we were for the time being.
And I can say that looking at stream flows prior to the rain we got, I believe it was Thursday or Friday of last week, a lot of the streams had dipped down back below the 25th percentile. So, I mean, we've gotten rain and that's good, but, you know, we're seeing ourselves, if we don't get that catch up on the precipitation, things quickly go back to what they were before. Before the rain, as far as natural conditions go, at least from the stream flow perspective.
Alicia, this is John Avery. I can do some update on the WOOC.
I think Dan might have.
I called in, guys. Sorry. Thanks, Jen. So we had a meeting on November 5th to really try to restart implementation. Remember, we had a meeting back in February. We had a good online presence of everybody. I don't remember the exact number, but it was quite a few people from various different places, which is great to have some great diversity as we think about implementation. So as we looked at implementation, we talked about a number of things and tried to establish some groups from interconnections and regionalizations, non-community water supply design standards, finding solutions to facilitate connections of new or existing non-community systems when they're close or viable for community water systems, and then conservation as a whole. And then there was a drought and then some project review checklists for town planners. So right now, working with Eric and Rich from DPH to get the final minutes together and start getting organized to get our next meeting together. But we had a good meeting. Obviously, we want to have not do things that other people have. So when you think about drought and conservation, it's obviously working with the State Water Plan and the Drought Advisory Committee and all those things. But it was a good meeting, a lot of participation, and we'll probably be virtual for a while. And so that's where we are. So I thought it was a good start.
Thank you, Dan. And I think that from seeing the folks who volunteered for the meetings, I think there's a decent amount of overlap between the groups so that
absolutely
we can kind of have some members from other groups to ensure that we're not repeating any work and to figure out how who's going to do what.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, obviously, there'll be a different view of it sometimes from the water company side versus other views, but I think that's the benefit of doing some of this stuff again. You know, like Bruce was just talking about drought, you know, Aquarian down in Southwest Fairfield County, that's us, and Norwalk as well, first and second. But yeah, those stream flows were very low. you know, it's a challenge. So we have our own separate plan for down there, whether Bruce declares a drought or not. So I think that's part of what we want to look at is what makes sense for the water company to be doing in coordination with the state's plan, in coordination with what's going on. So,
thanks, Dan. Any questions for Dan?
Alicia, just quickly, Dan, could you talk a little bit about what you expect the conservation group to be looking at with the WOOCs?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't established the agenda for that yet. But again, I think, you know, when you start looking at what's been going on the state water plan side in terms of trying to get a, you know, revenue adjustment mechanism which is applicable to, you know, the private utilities, trying to look at something like that. And I know that's being looked at as well. But conservation as a whole, and how does one go about it? For a lot of municipal systems, you know, they depend on water usage. So, you know, some of it is going to be, you know, I think reviewing what's been already done and making sure we're focused in the right areas. But there's not a particular focus right now. So.
Thank you. Anyone else have any questions for Dan? Okay, moving on to the nominating committee. Was there, I believe the Water Planning Council gave their blessing on the slate that we proposed to them this past month. Was there anything else we had to do with that, Josh? Do you remember? I'm sorry, I was a little distracted at the Water Planning Council meeting. Is Josh still with us?
Yeah, no, but he's muted.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, the Water Planning Council did approve the slate at the last meeting, but we do have one vacancy that we're looking at. The nominating committee is still working on. But the 2021 slate was approved.
What is the vacancy that you have?
The one Mike Emmons position for business and industry, water-intensive business. And I believe, Mike, you were trying to work something out with that.
I've been in contact with Connecticut Nursery Landscape Association. They are actively looking for a replacement. As you well know, my alternate will stay as the alternate, but does not want to take it on full time. I've made it clear to them the importance of finding somebody and filling that position as soon as possible. I think it's very important. And I know they're looking, but I don't know what the status is. I could probably give you some type of update at the next meeting. Hopefully we'll have some better answers for you.
Okay, that would be good. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Thanks, yep. Josh. So moving on to the work group reports, either Karen or Margaret, would you like to give the Watershed Lands work group report? Give everybody a heads up about tomorrow's meeting.
Karen? Well, sure, just to let everyone know that tomorrow at 9 a.m. there will be a virtual meeting of the Watershed Lands work group. We have DP8. We're going to focus on solar projects, the siting of solar projects on watershed, drinking water watershed land. Eric McPhee of DPH will give a presentation on the regulations that they follow. Graham Stevens has been invited. I know he hopes to be there to answer some of the questions that were raised and issues raised at the last meeting. Two of the things, one regarding process, whether it be a certificate of approval or the petition for a declaratory ruling, and also the what goes on in Vermont regarding the siting of preferable sites for solar projects. We're hoping Graham can make it. He had sent an email around and with some input, but there's a lot going on, and it's a very busy time. We have also, I don't know if I missed the early part of the meeting, Virginia, when you went over the list of water advisory group members who are present. Fred Klein is going to coordinate some input from solar developers. And we have invited, and this is where I turn the hard stuff over to Margaret. We've invited a couple members of the Siting Council to attend, and I don't have at this point a name of someone who has definitely agreed to attend, and I will turn that over to Margaret. I've also, just for you, for everyone's knowledge, is we've invited Peter Hearn of CEQ to join us again. He was his presentation at the last meeting was very good, and it has generated a lot of discussion and comments. So we hope to have a good meeting tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. And if anyone needs the information, I know Eric Lindquist, Bruce, and myself can send you the login information. And now, Margaret, I'm going to turn it over to you because I think you had a couple other things you wanted to speak of.
Well, of the people I asked, we were interested in the experience of DEP people on the council. And so I emailed Michael Harder. No answer. I emailed Bob Silvestri, who's the acting chairman, and we're familiar with him. He was a very good member of the Water Planning Council. No answer. Now, it may be because there are very similar issues before them, and they are reluctant to speak. It might be because I said, I'm usually diplomatic, that I said some very harsh things about the Siting Council on Twitter a few months ago, following a disastrous, to my mind, disastrous approval that lost them a member. I then thought, well, sometimes retired people from a body can speak, you know, more openly than someone who has who's involved and maybe hearing cases. So I asked one of the retired members, Michael Clemens, and he said he is not able to speak to anything to do with the Siting Council. I don't know for how long, but it's some kind of non-discussion agreement. I'm not sure. Another person who I think is retired is Janet Brooks, who I'm sure most of you know. So I was going to check in with her and see if Michael's interpretation of the vow of silence is correct. In the meantime, I submitted I had a question for Jack or someone on the council. Did the Water Planning Council write the Siting Council, or perhaps PURA in connection with the Siting Council, to do with the Hamden Solar Project that the Regional Water Authority is involved in as a party?
Not to my recollection, Margaret. Not.
I remember you all said, let's talk to PURA, something like that. And it should be pretty easy. You know, we're in the same building. I remember comments like that. And then someone, maybe Karen, asked me, did I know if a letter ever went to them? And I said no, that I didn't know, but I would ask. So in connection with that, there is today an evidentiary hearing and then a public hearing. I submitted comments for the public hearing, which they accepted. And what I concentrated on was that source water lands that are like class one, class two lands are the highest priority in the state for conservation. If you go to the Green Plan or the Land Acquisition Fund, and you come in with a source water a plan to conserve source water land, you're very likely to be approved. And also, I don't know if I made this clear, that water companies and the people of Connecticut have made quite an investment in the importance of and protecting these recharge lands. The water companies would be richer and rates might be lower if you could just put all kind of businesses into a source water watershed. But in the long run, or maybe the short run, we would not have the water quality protections we expect. So my comments are to the effect of, we have a state policy that goes one way and apparently another state policy that goes the other way. And at the time that we all voted to support combining energy and environment policy, this was exactly the kind of project and issue where we hoped the state would have a policy that was internally consistent, as opposed to two policies that ran counter to each other. And I really think it's pretty clear counter. Now, as for my I will say the one time I got in with the Siting Council to a meeting, Melanie Bachman was very gracious in letting me in, but a long agenda was wrapped up pretty quick. We should work on that here. I was going to speak, and John Hudak asked me if I was going to speak tonight at the public meeting, and I said I would like to. It took me a while to try to figure out how to sign up to speak, but it turns out that the deadline for speaking tonight was 7 days ago. So, you know, my comments are in writing, but to me, that was unusual. I see registrations that go up to, you know, 5 minutes before the meeting. So it's no great loss. I'll listen in on the meeting. I submitted comments, but I do feel the Siting Council process, I know a friend disagrees with me, is really not terribly good. They're missing members also. And I feel the petition process for some of these projects is not the right process. We have paid more attention to environmental protections regarding cell towers than some energy projects right in a drinking water watershed. So that's my experience. Tomorrow, I think we should have a very interesting meeting on this subject. DPH will be helping us understand it. Fred will help us understand it. And maybe someone from the Siting Council will speak, but I kind of doubt it.
Margaret, it's Fred. Did you ask Melanie Bachman if she was available?
We decided not to start with Melanie. Every presentation that I've seen, I'm very familiar with what Melanie says and what she will say. And one of my concerns is that what we don't get from this, no, we did not. The reason we did not is not because we don't respect Melanie. She's a very good lawyer. But because what we don't get is a sense, except here and there, of how the process actually works. And we really wanted the perspectives of someone who's serving on the council. And we first selected Michael because he's a deep person. He understands the environment. I know he's been speaking up. How do certain things get by? And I'm sure there's a legal answer that Melanie would give, and I think I've probably heard it a couple of times, but we wanted a different perspective if possible.
Yeah, more than being a very, very capable and knowledgeable lawyer on this issue, Melanie's the executive director. And I think it started with Melanie because she's there day to day, as opposed to the council members who are not as involved in the day-to-day as Melanie, and Melanie's got a wealth of experience. I would suggest that Melanie be asked to attend. She can address things, obviously not things that are before her right now, but she can also answer the questions that you have concerning the process or concerning, you know, other things or decisions that have been issued.
We wanted to start, or at least I wanted to start, and Karen agreed, we wanted to start from a different direction because we always get Melanie's perspective and sometimes only Melanie's perspective. And so, for instance, we're signed on as interveners in a couple of these cases, and I've been in the Siting Council during some major presentations, and I read their materials. So we were looking for a different perspective. This is something that comes up in many other similar situations in land use, Fred. There's some commissions that are completely run by staff, and there are other commissions that never consult their expert staff. So it goes in different directions. But in this case, sometimes I think, do the commissioners realize they're the ones that vote? They're the ones that make the decision. they're the ones that could ask, as I feel the Siding Council should ask, they're the ones that could ask for a change in law if they don't like the law. So this was one of those cases where I thought it might be good to start with members of the commission as opposed to the expert staff. But I agree with you. Melanie is extremely bright. She's the executive director. She seems, you know, she basically leads the council, and we obviously should hear from her. I just wanted to start from a different direction, but maybe that won't work.
Yeah, I do, you know, I reiterate, I do think that Melanie is the perfect person to lead off the discussion, because she's got, you know, the hands-on view of the whole process. She understands the law. She understands the process. She's been there for every one of their recent decisions. But let me just move on.
But do you, I mean, think about it. People like John Hudak and Rivers Alliance, we're involved in these cases and these rulings. So it's not as if we don't, it's not as if we aren't familiar with some of the things that you're saying.
Right. And some of them specific cases, whereas Melanie bridges the gap of all of the cases. So I will go back to, I think we should invite her. I would welcome to hear what she has to say. Going back to tomorrow, we are very much looking forward to it. I just wanted to let you know that Noel Lafayette will be making a return appearance. He attended the last meeting. He's a developer and has a lot of experience. And my partner, Lee Hoffman from Pullman and Comley, who has extensive experience with solar projects and with the Siting Council, will also be available to discuss the industry's point of view, his experience with the Siting Council, and participate in the dialogue.
And I believe tomorrow we're going to have the right people in the room to try to map a way forward on this discussion. I don't think we can do it effectively in this setting with the folks on this call. I believe we can make that. There is space on the agenda for that, under future agenda items to try to, think about how we can work, to come up with some common goals and find out how we can work together towards those common goals.
Thank you, Alicia. And I think that there is no internal reason, there is no real reason that we should not have consistent goals. It seems to me very doable.
Alicia?
Yes.
This is Karen. Could I just ask if Lori Vitigliano would like to say anything specific on the Hamden project? Lori, do you have anything to add?
I actually don't. I'm actually sitting in here on behalf of John today, because John is obviously the subject matter expert on this and has been following it very closely. So I don't have anything to add, but thank you for offering that I might. And thanks to the folks on the call that will support John's efforts in the RWA.
Just to let you know, Lori, John will give a very brief, I've spoke with him, a very brief update on the project at tomorrow's Watershed Lands Work Group meeting.
Great.
Perfect. And I'm not surprised. So.
Thank you. If I can just make a comment.
Sorry.
To something that Margaret was saying, I was actually surprised when I went into the Siting Council site and it indicated that to speak at the public hearing, you had to sign up 7 days in advance. So, and I think it probably caught a lot of people off guard who don't deal with the Siting Council every single day. That's a really extended period of time to have to sign up to speak. You can attend the meeting, but you can't speak unless you signed up 7 days ahead of time. So that's kind of onerous in terms of a public hearing. I want to make one other comment, though, and it's not about the Siting Council per se. It's about source water protection. And so it falls under that category, is that as a state, we're not doing as good a job as we should with source water protection. We talk about it a little bit in the state water plan, and the Department of Public Health has a big role in doing this and have been trying to move this forward. But when we have plans like the non-point source plan for the state and the integrated water resources management plan for the state that really concentrates on impaired waters and therefore doesn't necessarily look at, you know, our drinking water supply watersheds where we need to do source water protection, and we haven't totally integrated this, I think that's reflective in what we're seeing with the Siting Council and why, for example, this Hamden application, it wasn't even brought up that it was in a public drinking water supply watershed. But I think it's indicative of one of the challenges we're seeing across the state. There's a lot of money that comes from EPA to work on impaired watersheds, but not a lot of money that comes for looking at source water protection under the, you know, the Safe Drinking Water Act. So we have the Clean Water Act and the Safe Drinking Water Act, and we need to be talking about one water, and I've brought this up before, but I think that's one of the challenges we're seeing with this particular application. But I've brought this up before, that we need to be looking at our water broader, and we need to be looking at the source water protection issue across all of our agencies. And I really think the Water Planning Council, it's one of the things they were set up to do, is look at protecting our drinking water supply. And we're not going to get there if we continue to have these kind of divisions with where we put our resources and not looking at that. I will say we've made some strides on it this year. For the first time ever, we have a 319 grant was awarded to one of the conservation districts in Eastern Connecticut that is looking at what they call a healthy watersheds grant, meaning it's a public drinking water supply watershed. And so we're really thrilled with that. And we also have another source water protection grant that was provided by the federal government, the USDA Natural Resource Conservation Service, on source water protection. But I still don't see that when we have an integrated water resources management plan that really doesn't talk about source water protection as an integrated part of that plan, I think we're missing something. And I think we need to start paying attention across the board, because when we're doing watershed protection, you know, and we have to prioritize limited dollars, it would make sense that if we are protecting public drinking water supply watershed, we're also protecting Long Island Sound, we're also, you know, taking nutrients out of the stream, and we're doing all the same things, but we can prioritize, and we certainly need to be we need to be prioritizing the public drinking water supply watersheds and not just focusing on impaired watersheds. So I'm putting that out there, because I, even though I appreciate everything that's been said about the Siting Council, and I have my own challenges, and I think everyone has challenges with regulatory agencies. I've been part of a regulatory agency, so I know that pushback on both sides. That said, I think what you're seeing is indicative of a bigger problem, and we don't have a big enough focus on source water protection. And I think that's one of the things with this GC3 and talking about drought and water quantity as well as quality, the challenges we're seeing in our public drinking water supply watersheds with algal blooms, and that some of this is just going to be exacerbated by climate change, that we need to change that focus. And I think if we want to have a resilient Connecticut, we need to be thinking about it. So I'm just putting that out there. So to put it in this broader context of what we can do as a Water Planning Council, that's beyond just looking at this one particular thing with the Siting Council.
This is Margaret, Denise, and in response, I'll send my comments. I pointed out that although we have energy and environmental protection in one agency, we have, as you say, the Drinking Water Act, another agency, DPH, so we're all familiar with that. And I pointed out that the one place where all the agency interests are combined is the Water Planning Council. In principle, here in the Water Planning Council, I feel, is where these broad issues that you're raising could be addressed. It does combine the different agency platforms into this one venue. So I did put that in my comments, written comments. Luckily, I got those in.
Wouldn't you then,
go ahead.
Wouldn't you then have to expand the role of the Water Planning Council to include energy? Because, and I totally agree, water and you know, it is critical. And I don't want anybody to think that I don't think that water is critical, but energy is also critical, and there are a lot of factors that need to be considered. Water being one, a very important one, but also energy needs, the type of, you know, use of fossil fuels, reduction of fossil fuels, sustainability, things like that. So I would think that, you know, there would have to be a major change and expansion of the charge of the Water Planning Council if you want to start considering Siting Council type roles there. Whereas the Siting Council is charged with looking at energy as well as, very importantly, environmental impacts. So you already have an agency that's charged with that. Plus there's DEP requirements. PURA does get involved.
You know, if I might jump in here.
Absolutely.
Margaret, and Fred, you're making a very good point, but one of the things, you know, on the Siting Council, the Siting Council has representatives from PURA, from the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, from some other state agencies. So we do have people on that represent the our various agencies. In terms of the Water Planning Council taking stands, I mean, I have no problem doing that. But one of the things, as you know, going back almost two decades ago, the reason we were established, because there was not a lot of dialogue between the four agencies on there. And many times what happens is that, sure, we could have consensus on at the Water Planning Council itself. Then you go back to our member agencies, and some of the hierarchy there may not be on the same page we are. So it's somewhat of a challenging process. But to your point, Margaret, I mean, I don't have any problem weighing in on things like this if we have the support of our various agencies as well, because I think you get more out of that when you have your agency's backing of what we're trying to do as a Water Planning Council. The siting, as you're right, it is in the building, because nobody's in our building now. I mean, I go in once a week, so it's pretty empty. I haven't seen Melanie in months, since last March, but I used to see her quite often, and she is very competent and does a great job there. But there are council members, and I think Fred alluded to this. I mean, many times, you know, we have a lot of controversies over the 5G expansion and putting these devices on telephone poles and near telephone poles, and people come to us and they're complaining about the aesthetics and about the potential health issues and that kind of thing. And, you know, we look at them and you feel for people, and we also read a newspaper right now is that some kids in some parts of the state can't do e-learning at home because they don't have computer systems in their home because they don't have access to internet. So it's a double-edged sword that we have, and it's a challenge certainly for all of us.
So I think we should leave any further discussion of this to the committee meeting tomorrow. As far as the next two items in the work groups, there are no updates. Is there any other new business that we might have missed before we move on to public comments? All right, let's move on to public comments. Is there anyone who would like to make a public comment? I hope in that silence you've at least been able to enjoy the French horn music in the background. no public comment? Judy?
I got nothing.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't know.
Well, we're glad to see you here today, Judy. Okay, so the next, let me check in with Josh. Josh, did I forget anything?
No, nope, I think you got it all.
Okay. The next meeting is December 15th. The next Water Planning Council meeting is December 1st. And the next Implementation Work Group meeting is December 8th. And again, the Watershed Lands Group is meeting tomorrow at 9 in the morning, and that is via Zoom. So if you did not receive that that invitation and you're interested in joining, is that on the Secretary of State's website yet? You know, Karen, or on the Water Planning Council?
I don't know. I believe I just sent it to Ira who wanted a copy. I don't know. Eric sent it out last night.
Okay. So it might be on the Secretary of State website, but you folks, anybody who needs the link can email myself or Karen. I will put my email address in the chat. Oops. And we'll send it to just Dan. Hold on a second.
Alicia, this is Bruce. I do not see it. I do not see it on the
Secretary of State.
So I'll go check with Eric and we'll get it up there. And we'll also make sure there's a link in a prominent place on the water website before the end of this afternoon.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bruce. I appreciate it.
Hey, Alicia, I'm going to come in with a late public comment. As some of you know, I'm going to come in with a late public comment. As some of you know, I'm a water planning advocate, state water planning advocate, and I just want to compliment you all on the terrific forward motion that you're all committed to and you're doing. So congratulations.
Thanks, Len. And we're glad to see you. Keep joining us. It's good to see your face.
I will. Thank you.
All right, is there a motion to adjourn? Everybody's frantically looking for the unmute button.
Second.
All right, so meeting adjourned, and I will see you all on December 15th. Hope you have a great rest of November and a wonderful Thanksgiving. Take care.
Thank you all.
Bye, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.